Just want to thank everybody here for giving me the opportunity to participate in such a wonderful, inspiring program of Limud HaTorah. The Gemara Bracha says that one of the four things that requires constant reinforcement and chizuk is Limud HaTorah. And nothing more inspiring than seeing vast numbers of people coming on a day they have off from work to engage in Limud HaTorah. So I appreciate your enabling me to participate in this program. Parshas Pekudei, obviously, which is this coming week's parsha, the initial instinct was to talk about Sukkah, talk about Parsha Shkolim, but I heard that that was already done in previous weeks. So I figured I would discuss a little bit about the idea behind the Big Day Kahuna, but more of a focus on how it relates to us practically, which is our yarmulke and how that evolved in halacha and some of the halachas related to that. So we'll begin with first source here. It's coming with Parsha, Parsha's Pekudei. The Torah speaks of the Big Day Kahuna. And the Torah tells us, Ves hamitznefes sheish, ves parei hamigbaos sheish, that the hat that the kohat, that the kohen gadol and the kohen hedjuk wore had to be made from linen. Ves michnesei habat sheish, moshazar, and the pants that the kohanim wore were also made of linen. Rashi's trouble, what's the parei hamigbaos? Hat means mikbas. You want to talk about the hat of the kohen? Say mikbas. Why pa'arei ha-mikbas? So Rashi there in source number 2 tells us, why does the Torah stress pa'arei ha-mikbaos? Rashi says what that means is tiferes ha-mikbaos ha-mikbaos ha-mefu'aros. That the hat of the kohen gadol was called the beautiful, elegant hat. And in case you think this is just by chance, the Torah throws in a word referring to the hat of the kohen gadol as being beautiful and glorious. It happens at least two other times in the past few parashios, that the Torah stresses that the Big Day Kahuna, the hat of the Kohen Hedjut in particular, and the begadim of the Kohen Gadol, are called beautiful, are called mefuarim, they're called glorious and elegant. Another example is in Parshas Tetzaveh, source number 3, where once again, we see the Torah refers to the hat of the Kohen, the levnei aharon ta'aseh kutanos, you should make shirts or robes for the levnei aharon, Vasiso lehem avnetim, you should make belts for them. Umigbaos ta'asel lehem lechavad ulesifaris. And again, the hat should be lechavad ulesifaris, for glory, for beauty. Source number 4, another example, the same parasha, parasha tetzaveh. Big day kodesh l'aron achicha. The begadim, the sacred clothing of Aharon, the Kohen Gadol, should be lechavad ulesifaris, for respect and for glory. Now, the reason why I stress this is because it's very troubling. The Torah, God doesn't look at the externals. We all know the most important part about a Jew is what's inside. Whether you're an Oved Hashem or not an Oved Hashem, what your kavanos are. Do you have the right intentions? Are you mechaven l'shem shemayim? Why the stress on the externals here in the Big Day Kahuna? I'm so worried about the beauty of the Kohanim Gedolim, of their clothing, of the Kohen's clothing. Why this repetitive stress of l'kavod l'sefaros, it should be beautiful, it should be awe-inspiring. Why is that so important? So a number of mepharshim suggest possible explanations. Let's take a look, number 1, at the Sepharno. Sepharno says, very simply, why is it so important that the Kohanim should wear such beautiful clothing? So the Sepharno says in the first half of the line there, that l'chavod l'sefaros really means for the kavod of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We dress a certain way, says the Sepharno, the Kohanim who are serving as God's agents in the Mishkan, the Beis HaMikdash, have to dress beautifully. Yes, not because we feel that externals are the most important thing that there is, but because we want to show that we show respect for Kadosh Baruch Hu. We're serving in the Mishkan, we dress appropriately to show that we respect what we're doing, what our mission in life is here in the Beis HaMikdash or in the Mishkan. Okay, that's a very simple and logical approach. I want to focus first, as a springboard to get into the discussion of the yarmulke and the kippah, on two other explanations that are given. One, which I take it was not able to be scanned in, is the shot of the Netziv. The Netziv, in his Perish Hamik Dabar and Parshas Tetzaveh, on this pasuk of L'chavod ulesefaros, also is trying to explain why is it so important that the Kohanim should wear such beautiful clothing. And his explanation is why. So the Netziv writes, Sheyihyu mechubadim be'enei Yisrael. It's in order that the Kohanim should inspire reverence from fellow Jews. They should command respect from other Jews. Why? The Yehudim, other Jews should know, Shehema b'ma'ala rama mehem, that the Kohanim are special. They dress a certain way so that other Jews should respect them and should realize that they are special people. So rather than the Sephardim's approach, that b'kavod HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the Nitzit takes a different approach. He says it's in order to earn the respect of others, they should recognize the stature of the Kohanim. That's one important shot to keep in mind, which we'll come back to shortly. A second, maybe third shot I should say, is that of the Sefer HaChinuch. The Sefer HaChinuch, which is here at source number 6, Mitzvah Tzadi Test, which is in Parshas Tzadi, where he discusses the halachos of the Big Day Kahuna, which is not just a nice thing. Big Day Kahuna, you had to wear it. The Kohen didn't wear his begadim, his special clothing, and he did the avod in the Beis HaMikdash. The avod was possible, it wasn't invalid, it wasn't good. So what's the reason behind this? The Sefer HaChinuch writes that we know there's a famous notion, which he made famous actually, Hayesod HaKavu'alanu, that notion that I keep on stressing, that a person will act and will act according to how he conducts himself. The way he thinks, the way he feels is also based on how he acts. And the Sefer HaChinuch writes that the stress of the Kohanim's clothing is because the Shliach HaMechaper, that agent who atones for us before God, has to concentrate and focus on what he's doing. He has to be cognizant always of who he's standing before, of the fact that he's serving in the Mishkan in front of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He shouldn't lose sight and distract himself from his ultimate mission. And the Sefer HaChinuch writes, therefore, in that paragraph it says, Al-Kain Ro'e Lehislavish Begadim Yuchadim Eila. That for that reason, the Kohen has to wear such fitting, beautiful clothing. Why? Because when he sees what he's wearing, he'll automatically remind himself, who am I? Where am I? What am I supposed to be doing? He won't think about the Yankees or the Mets or the NHL or what used to be the NHL. He'll realize, look what I'm wearing here. Clothing, I got a job to do. Focus on the Kodesh Baruch Hu. I can't lose track of what I'm supposed to be focusing my attention on. And the Sefer HaChinuch says, if you think about it, he says in the Halacha, we're told that the belt the Kohen Hedjot wore was 32 amos long. According to some postman, 64 feet. Imagine a belt 64 feet long. Wind it and 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 wind it. It's going to like be out to here on you. Why? That's pretty bulky. It's not convenient. That's the whole point, says the Sefer HaChinuch. He should be banging his arms against it so he remembers constantly. Remember, I'm wearing this avne, I'm wearing this belt because I'm an Oved Hashem. I got a mission to accomplish here. I shouldn't lose sight of what I'm trying to do. Even the hat says, the turban says the Sefer HaChinuch, the mitznefes was 16 amos long. 32 feet, round and around and around and around. The whole purpose was to say, Sefer HaChinuch, that you shouldn't lose sight and shouldn't forget that I'm wearing this clothing to remind me of what I should be focusing on. And I think that these reasons that we have seen with regard to the Big Day Kahuna are very relevant for us as well. Because just to, if you consider the reasons we just mentioned, be it the Sfarno that the Big Day Kahuna were beautified in order to show respect for Kadosh Baruch Hu, be it the Nitziv that it was in order to command respect from others to show that you're special, be it the Sefer HaChinuch to remind yourself of what your ultimate mission is, what you should be focusing on, that relates to us in a very real way today also. Even though we no longer have the Big Day Kahuna, and even if we did have it, not all of us are Kohanim, but as the Torah tells us in Parshas Yisro, Vatem Tihiyuli Mamleches Kohanim B'Goy Kadosh. We are all a kingdom, a nation of Kohanim, to inspire the rest of the world. And our Big Day Kahuna today, we don't have Big Day Kahuna per se, but the Yarmulke, I think, as we'll see, is precisely serving the same purpose as the Big Day Kahuna. It's also meant to do the exact same thing, to set ourselves apart from others, to show others that we're different, and to inspire ourselves to act differently. And we'll see that as we discuss the sugya of the Kisui HaRosh as it evolved in Halacha and the reasons given for it. Number one, it's fascinating to take a look at the Gemara in Brachos, source number 7. The Gemara in Brachos there is discussing the Berachos HaShachar that we recite every morning, which we say all one after another. Rattle it off. 1, 2, 3. The Gemara in Brachos says that originally those Brachos were meant to be said as you did certain actions in the morning. When you heard the rooster crow, you said, you gave the rooster understanding to distinguish between night and day. When you got dressed, you said, Malbish Arumim. You said, God dresses those who are unclothed. And the Gemara says, Kiporis Sudra al Reshe. When you put something on your head, a covering on your head, says the Gemara, Lema, you should say the bracha, Baruch Oter Yisrael B'Sif'ara. Blessed is God who crowns us with beauty, with glory. Notice the word Tif'ara and Tif'eris, Mifu'aros, the same description used by the Bigdei Kahuna, that the Pa'arei HaMikvaos, or the Chavar L'Sif'aris, that the Bigdei Kahuna served to be Tif'eris, to be glorifying the Kohanim. That same adjective is used with regard to our head covering. Oter Yisrael B'Sif'ara. God who crowns the Jews with beauty, with glory. What's the purpose of all that? Why do we wear the yarmulke? Famous discussion. So the Gemara tells us a number of places. The Gemara tells us, why do we have the yarmulkes? Why is this tif'ara, this tif'eris, this beauty, this glorifying garment we wear in our heads, why is it so important? So the Gemara says, Gemara Shabbos Kufnun of Avim Abayis tells us, for example, there was a story with the famous Amora of Nachum Bar Yitzchak. Nachum Bar Yitzchak, one of the famous Amoraim in the Gemara, his mother, when he was born, received an ominous message from her local neighborhood stargazer. And this astrologer, psychic, wherever he was, popped in to wish her Mazel Tov on the birth of her new baby boy. And he said to her, Mazel Tov, but one thing you should keep in mind, he said, I see in the stars that he's going to be a Ganav. And he'll be a Ganav. But Mazel Tov anyways. Okay, very nice bracha, you know, not too inspiring for a new mother. So what did she do? What was her reaction? So immediately the Gemara says that she told him, make sure you always cover your head. Kasi reshe, cover your head, says the Gemara Brachas Kufnun Vav. Ki heke desehevi alof e mosa deshmaya. That you should have fear of heaven upon you. Uvoy racham, you better daven that God puts you on the right path. Poor little boy didn't know what she was talking about. Why am I so different than all my friends? I have to cover my head, nobody else does? And the Gemara says, one day he was sitting under a palm tree, and that head covering he had fell off, and all of a sudden he looks up and sees the dates on somebody's tree, and he was seized with this urge to go take somebody else's fruit. And the Gemara says he was so overtaken, he climbed up the tree, grabbed the cluster of dates, because apparently that stargazer wasn't just that psychic from Route 4 who claims to know what's going on. It was somebody who actually saw something in the constellations that showed that this person of Nachum Bar Yitzchak had something in him that would have put him on the path of gezela, of stealing, had he not been tempered by the Yiras Shemayim of the Kisei HaRosh. But the point of the Gemara clearly is that the purpose of covering our heads is in order to put upon us fear of heaven, Yiras Shemayim, which is very strikingly similar to the Sefer HaChinuch. Sefer HaChinuch by Bigdei Kahuna says the purpose of the Bigdei Kahuna is to inspire the Kohen. Don't lose sight of who you're being obeyed before, who you're serving. You're serving HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The yarmulke also meant to inspire us to fear of heaven, to remind ourselves to be in control of our Yetzer Hara constantly. But what's interesting is that if you look in the Gemara and the Halakha, it would appear that this was not always strict Halakha, to wear a yarmulke on your head. Number of examples, the Gemara says, to skip to source number 11 for a second, source number 11, where Apuna Breder of Yeshua says, tastily, I deserve some reward, some schar, to lo sagina arba amos vigilu harosh. I didn't ever walk 4 amos with my head uncovered. But he's being proud of himself. He's saying, I deserve schar, I deserve to be commended, promotion, because I never walked with my head uncovered more than 4 amos. Implying, wasn't something everybody did. He went out of his way to do something extra to cover his head. And the Gemara in source number 9 also, the same Amora, Gunabrej of Yeshua, the Gemara refers to him as somebody who would never walk for 4 amos, the Gilui HaRosh, with his head uncovered, because he always said to himself, Shechina l'mala meroshi. The Shechina is above me. I have to constantly be cognizant of that. We look in the Rambam, Mor Nevuchim, where he tells us what the reason for covering our head is. The Rambam says, you know already, the Rambam writes, that you're never allowed to walk with your head held high, with a sense of arrogance about you, or your nose in the air, because Malach HaLaetz Kavodo, God's glory fills the world. You have to be cognizant of God as the supreme being above you. And the Rambam says, that we have to be constantly, be aware that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is in front of us, that we are walking in front of His Shechina. And the Rambam writes, U'gedolei Chachameinu Zal, our great rabbis, Hayu Nimnoim Melagalos Rosham, would not uncover their heads, because the Shechina was hovering above them. So in this little paragraph in the Morna Gufa, the Rambam writes, number one, the reason we don't uncover our heads is because the Shechina is above us. Always be cognizant of that fact. But number two, he points out that the Gedolei Chachameinu, the great rabbis, are the ones who never uncovered their heads, implying not everybody did that. That was a unique mode of conduct that certain Gedolei Harabanim had, but not everybody. And this is brought out further by the fact that the Rambam in Hilchos Deos, where he quotes this halakha, again, he quotes in the context of how Talmidei Chachamim would act. And Hilchos Deos, in Perkei Halacha Vav, he says that Tzniyus Gedola Nohagim Talmidei Chachamim Ba'atzman, that Talmidei Chachamim would conduct themselves with a greater degree of modesty, and therefore they wouldn't lo yispazu, they wouldn't disgrace themselves, v'lo yisgalu roshan v'lo gufan, they wouldn't uncover their heads or their bodies. Who Talmidei Chachamim would do this? Implying again, that strictly speaking, not everybody did this. So you get the distinct impression from the Gemara, from the Rambam, that there was originally no isser on walking around with your head uncovered. Only those who went above and beyond were the ones who covered their heads. And that is also implicit in the Shulchan Aruch, where the Shulchan Aruch writes in Siman Beis, the very beginning of Shulchan Aruch. Shulchan Aruch tells us, source 13, that number one, it's usher leilach b'komaz zakufa. One is prohibited from walking with his nose in the air, sense of arrogance, look at me, I'm on top of the world. Because God's on top of you, you're not so haughty. Then the Shulchan Aruch adds, v'lo yelech, and don't walk, dalet amos pegilui haros. Four amos, 8 feet, 6 to 8 feet, with your head uncovered. Notice the contrast. Usher to go with your head high in the clouds, and v'lo, and don't walk with your head uncovered. Shulchan Aruch again is very cautious. He says, usher to walk with your head up in the air, but when it comes to uncovering your head, he says, don't do it. Implying, as we've been saying all along, that originally it was a midas chasidus, it was something that was above and beyond the strict requirements of the law. But I want to, for a moment, examine how this evolved to what we know today is usher to uncover one's head, to walk around without a yarmulke on. How did it evolve from what was originally midas chasidus to what today we know is completely usher to walk around without a yarmulke? What's the reason behind this? If we look in the Shuvas of Rabbein Yehuda ben Harash, Zichron Yehuda, source number 14. This was one of the sons of the Rush. The Rush we know was the father of the Tur, Rabbeinu Yaakov Bal HaTur. He was also the father of Rabbein Yehuda, perhaps a little lesser known brother of the Tur. But Rabbein Yehuda has his own Sefer of Shalos and Shuvas, a little book called Zichron Yehuda. And here in Siman Chaf, he was asked a question by his nephew, the son of a third brother, who asked as follows. The nephew asked him, Rabbein Yehuda ben Harash, V'hodieni, let me know, im tsarech adam lehizareh b'shas limud, if a person has to be careful when he's learning Torah, shelo leishev begili harosh, not to sit with his head uncovered when he's learning. And what's Rabbein Yehuda's response? His response is, v'tofu, it's preferable, shelo leishev begili harosh b'shas limud, not to have your head uncovered when you're learning. So look at what he says. Lemisha yuchal lisful, if you can handle it. Why not? What's wrong with a yarmulke on your head? What's so difficult? So first he says, the reason why you should have your yarmulke on is lemisha yuchal, lemisha yilmod yosef e'emah. It will encourage you to learn with more fear, more reverence of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But sometimes he says, at times, mitnech kovet hachom, it'll be so hot, you won't be able to endure it. Yarmulke will make you so hot, you have to take it off. Okay, take it off. So number one is, now I'm going to make me too hot? I mean, seems very funny. Apparently, in those days, Kisei Harosh meant really covering your head with a hat of some sort, or strimal maybe, hey, first fruit for a strimal, right? Okay? So you have here an indication from Eddie Huda Ben Harosh that in those days, the Kisei Harosh they had was like a hat. It was heavy. It really weighed down on them. And then Eddie Huda says, if you're too hot with it, ideally learn with it on because you'll learn with more fear of heaven. If you're too hot, okay, I can understand, then you don't have to. But it's preferable to do it. So number one, the Kisei Harosh they were talking about is a real Kisei Harosh, not our smaller sized Shrimrock, as you might refer to them. We'll see what the minimum size for us today is shortly. But secondly, we see that at this time, in the 1300s of Ben Yehuda's writing, 1300s, he was still saying that it was preferable to learn with your head covered. If you can't handle it, okay. Yeah.
Where did he live?
Where did he live? Good question. The rush went from Germany to Spain. So I would I don't know if his son stayed there or not.
Was it a hot climate?
Spain? Probably. The rush ended up in Spain. Whether his son stuck around there or not, that I don't know. Interesting question. It makes sense, you're right. If it was a hotter climate. Even so, I don't think like our yarmulkes would make a difference that much in a hot climate. But you're right. If it was a hot climate, that's why a hat would be difficult to wear.
Probably a
turban. Sorry?
Probably a turban.
A turban. Right, living amongst the Arabs, the Muslims. Probably, correct? Probably a turban.
But a lot of heat is that dissipated to the head.
It all concentrates there.
In general, yes.
Mm-hmm. Okay, yeah, that makes sense. But I'm just saying that clearly we're wearing more than what we're wearing today.
Well,
look at the Maharshal. The Maharshal writing about 200 years later in the 1500s also deals with the same issue. Shlomo Luria, who is a little further north in Europe, Eastern Europe, he writes also, he hears about a Chacham, one Talmud Chacham, who was learning the Gilui Rosh, who would learn with his head uncovered. And he complains, he said, the reason why I'm doing it is because Kavod Alav Hamasa, it weighs down too heavily on my head. So 1500s also, they still have these heavy, imposing head coverings that they were wearing. And for that reason, this Chacham Echad, who the Maharshal refers to, didn't want to wear it when he was learning. So the Maharshal says, I don't think, he says, that there's an Isser involved in doing what he's doing. Ein Isser B'davar, he writes. And not even a Midas Chasidus, as long as you're not saying Hashem's name, he writes. I mean, right now we're discussing only wearing a yarmulke when you're not davening, when you're not saying brachas, you're not saying Hashem's name. Just walking around, just sitting around learning. So the Maharshal writes, he says, however, I think that a Talmud Chacham should be cautious in wearing a yarmulke. Why? Because ha'am tofsim ba lekalus lepritzus. Ki le'obra das yehudis. People who see him without a yarmulke and think he's Nebuch, what is he doing? You know, he's being over on terribly surim. And so the Maharshal says, even learning privately in your room, even though I don't think it's usher, he says, learn without a yarmulke on, you shouldn't do it because marasayim. People won't realize what's going on here. They'll think that you're being over in isser. And then a little interesting addendum there, he goes off on a little tangent. The Maharshal criticizes the Ashkenazi Jews of his time. He says, and you look at the Ashkenazim, he says, speaking about ourselves, I assume, he says, you know, some of these Jews, he says, they'll drink non-Jewish wine in a hotel that belongs to a guy. They'll eat food cooked in a non-Jewish pot. And the machmir is the one who believes the innkeeper who says that, yeah, don't worry, it's all kosher, I didn't cook in it before. That's a machmir. He says, but when they see somebody who, does everything right, but he learns with his head uncovered, they think, oy vey, he's an apikars. So he says, put things in perspective, he says. You know, people have a perception of things. When sometimes they view that which is really usser as being noob, nishka ferla, and that which is not so usser, they view as the most terrible thing. That was in the times of the Maharshal. One last point to make, which is of note in this Maharshal's tshuva, is the last line in the Maharshal, where he says that a chacham who knows to avoid any marasayin or criticism should cover his head when he learns. If it's too heavy, he says, so put something else on your head. Cover your head with a piece of linen, a thin piece of linen, or with a piece of silk. Doesn't matter. Cover your head with something. Right? He says, if you can't wear the heavy thing, the heavy, hot hat, so cover your head with a thin piece of cloth, be it pishtun, be it linen, be it silk, small, lightweight yarmulke, and of note, he makes no distinction between material. Today, maybe, you have a preference for a certain materials over another because of ideological persuasions or societal pressures, but it's clear in the Maharshal is that beged pishtun, beged meshi, linen, silk, it's all kosher. As long as you're covering your head, it's okay. Yeah?
Do you presume that when they said Gilui Rosh, it didn't mean that they were wearing it something like this as opposed to the regular hat?
I presume so, yeah, because he says if the hat's too heavy, then cover your head with a thin piece of cloth. He's talking about Gilui Rosh. You are correct that there is a machlokes haposkim in certain instances in the Gemara, where the Gemara speaks about your head uncovered. Does that mean totally uncovered? Does that mean that I'm not wearing my hat, but I'm still wearing something else underneath? But here in the Maharshal, and the Ben Yehuda Ben Rosh, I think they are saying straightforward, Gilui Rosh means your head was uncovered. Okay. So then what changed? If this is true that Ben Yehuda ben Arush and the Maharshal all say that, strictly speaking, there's no Isser to learn if you're not saying Shem Hashem with your head uncovered, so why today is it so radically different? So number one, the most famous pshat is that of the Taz. The Taz, writing in our Chaim Simen Ches, in source 16, says, I think today there's an Isser Gomer, he says, to walk around with your head uncovered. Why? He says, since it's a chok aksha ben ha'akum, it's practiced by the non-Jews today. She'osim kein tamid, they do this always. Take it, she'yoshim, as soon as they sit down, horkim elam ha'kov, they pick off their hat. So the chukos sam lo'shelechus, says the Taz, it's an Isser Gomer medina, to sit or walk with your head uncovered, because the Goyim do that. The Chukosayim lo say leifu. This is 1600s. From Taz.
Is Taz referring to, in general, that whatever they did, or is it for instance when they go into their batei tefillah?
He's referring to in general. And that is a very good point, because the Achronim ask on the Taz, they ask, I don't understand.
When people take up their
head, exactly.
Because they're bad
100%. The Achronim all ask on the Taz, what do you mean? Is Chukos Ha'akum because I walk into my house and it's a little hot inside, so I take my hat off? And if I were to, take off my jacket, is that also chukas ha'akum? Walk into my house, like I sit in my hat and jacket all day in my living room? Now, how can he say that's chukas ha'akum?
That's so, what he's referring to when they go into their batei tefillah.
So he himself is not referring to that only because he's telling us that we always have to keep our heads covered. You're right that there might be a way to answer the Taz, I'll get to that in a second, but the Taz doesn't make any mention of that. The Taz says that as soon as they walk into their, as soon as they sit down, they take off their hats. So all the Achronim jump on the Taz, Rabbi Yosef quotes Shuvas Netzah Sorek, and other Achronim of Moshe also asks on the Taz, why should it be that as soon as you, just because a guy takes off his hat when he walks into his home, that makes it Chukos Ha'akum? They're doing it because they're hot, they're more comfortable without it, there's a good reason for it, it's not a religious, practice. So the one suggestion that's given, or Moshe finds some suggestion in his Shuvas, that maybe the Taz means that since when they walk into church, they're so used to doing it, and that somehow led to them taking it off more frequently because they're used to doing it in church. So that makes it more of a chukas ha'akum shaila. But most of the time, and Rav Yosef both assume that, strictly speaking, in one's home, there most probably is not an issur chukas ha'akum to take off one's yarmulke because it's not done for religious reasons, it's done for convenience, and that's why they're going to do it as well. However, there are other reasons why this would still be usur b'zman hazeh, even if you disagree with the Taz. And before we get to that, I want to just mention that the Taz, though, although it might be up for question whether in one's home there's an issur chukas ha'akum to take off your yarmulke, but if Moshe Feinstein says, what would happen if somebody would, by mistake, daven Shmona Esrei, and then he realizes, oop, my yarmulke fell off. I davened with my head uncovered. I didn't realize it. So Moshe says, that would be real chukas ha'akum shaila. If somebody would mistakenly walk into a shul, or with Davin, with his head uncovered, and then realize later, oops, my yarmulke wasn't on my head, I didn't realize. But Moshe says that would be a real issur d'oraisa chukas ha'akum. Why? Because that's real chukas ha'akum. Even if you disagree with the Taz and you say that in one's home, it's not chukas ha'akum because it's done for convenience. But the goyim in the church always take off their head coverings as religious respect. So if one would walk into a shul, or one would Davin without a yarmulke on, that would be a real issur d'oraisa, according to everybody, says Rav Moshe, chukas ha'akum. And Moshe goes to Fars to Paskin in Chelek Dalad Simen Mem, where Moshe writes that if somebody realized that after he davened Shmona Esrei, oops, my yarmulke wasn't on my head, tefilaso to'eva, the davening that he davened is a to'eva because it was done in a way that the goyim worship Lahavdil, their deity, and he says you have to daven all over again. It wasn't good. So, at least in shul, and when we daven, for sure there's an issur chukas ha'akum mid the oraisa of Moshe writes. How about at home? Let's say you disagree with the Taz, there's no chukas ha'akum. You can argue about it, is it chukas ha'akum, is it not chukas ha'akum, but there are other reasons also why there should be an issur gomer medina today, not for somebody who doesn't have his head covered at all times. Number one is Avadji Yosef in source 17. Avadji Yosef writes and says that today, he says it's not just midas chasidus anymore. It's not just, above and beyond the letter of the law. Today it's required to have your head covered at all times. Me'ikar adin, because he says, number one, since today, the yarmulke has become the sign of the Orthodox Jew, of the frum Jew. Somebody who doesn't wear a yarmulke will be over the isser of maris ayin. People will think that he's doing something wrong or that he's not religious, that he's not so frum. And that might be a very serious isser. For sure, midrabanan, maybe even daraisa, according to some rishonim. And number two, he says, Chil Hashem. People know that you're a frum Jew, you're not wearing a yarmulke. What are they going to think? So today, Rabbi Yosef Paskin's Simta Yamka now is unanimously accepted, universally accepted as the sign of the Ovid Hashem. It distinguishes the Ovid Hashem La'asher Lo Avado between the one who serves God and one who doesn't serve God. So if you don't wear Yamka, God forbid, Rabbi writes, it looks as if you're part of Malchus Shemaim. It looks as if you are throwing off the yoke of heaven.
Yeah. So if I'm referring to any time, or also just in terms of our leisure? I mean, is there certain workplaces where, you know, it's required for whatever reason?
Uh-huh. Okay, so work is a very interesting Shiloh. Work, of Moshe has a tshuva, we're here in Kosher Mishpat, Siman Tzadi Gimel, which he wrote back in the 60s, about someone who couldn't get a job if he would keep his head covered. Mm-hmm. Famous tshuva. And Moshe writes that, since strictly speaking, I mean, even according to the Taz, he says, Chukas Ha'akim would depend on where you are and what the goyim around you do. And since today our local goyim don't take off their yarmulkes or whatever they're wearing at home for religious reasons, it's just for convenience. So there's no Chukas Ha'akim today in America, says Rav Moshe, to have your head uncovered. It's Midas Chassidus, strictly speaking. So Rav Moshe says, therefore, if one will suffer a hefsid gadol, one would suffer a very tremendous financial loss. You won't have parnasa. So the same way you're not obligated to spend more than a fifth of your wealth to perform a mitzvah saseh, so too Rav Moshe says, Amidas Chassidus, you wouldn't be obligated to lose a significant amount of money if you can't get a job with your head covered. But you have to be very careful how you apply that, because Rav Moshe says very clearly that only there's a hefsid gadol, more than, you know, a fifth of all your wealth. And it's only when you can't get a job, your panos is at risk without it. I don't know, you know, how relevant that is in most cases today when, you know, bottom line, will somebody really fire you because you're wearing a yarmulke as opposed to not? You have to be very careful when you, you know, approach a child such as that. And when this is the only job you can get, and you get a job somewhere else where you could wear your yarmulke. But most of talking about a case where you're faced with an ultimatum. Either significant financial loss, hefsid gadol, or my yarmulke. So there he says, if you have one choice over the other, Midas Chassidus, strictly speaking, doesn't stand up to the hefsid gadol, and you can go to work if it requires that you don't wear a yarmulke, as long as he says you put it on the second you walk out of the office. But again, you have to be very careful how you apply that, because things have changed a lot in the 60s, and over the next 40 till, you know, 40 years later,
so
things have changed a lot.
Even the Chavidas,
yeah.
Does he apply that? Does he apply that to workplace?
No, he was talking in general. He was saying in general, there's a halacha that you have to wear a yarmulke, and if you don't, it looks like you're parakom al hashemayim me'olah. Looks like you are, you know, relinquishing from time. He didn't make mention that tshuva of what to do in the workplace in the face of that financial decision. And even if Moshe has this tshuva back in the 60s, that if, you know, somebody's faced with incredible financial loss, or it's his yarmulke, he would have a hesitant to take off his yarmulke in work if that's the only possible option he has. But Moshe himself has a tshuva at the bottom of the page, source 18, where he writes that if... So here's that interesting shaila. Somebody goes to a disco, a place of pizzas, yisurim. Shaila is, do you tell him to take off his yarmulke or to keep his yarmulke on? What do you do with that? Wow, I'm glad I didn't get that shaila. Yeah, that's why Moshe got that shaila. What do you do with that shaila? So Moshe said, very fascinating, he said, yes, it's true that this is, maybe strictly speaking, originally Midas Chassidus. But he says, Chas v'shalom, that you should tell somebody, because he's being over one Isser, to be over another Isser. He says, today, taking off the yarmulke, maybe it started as a Mina Chassidus. But what's his lashon? He says, find the exact quote here. He says, Hoshlani is daikin on source 18, about 5 lines down. Ein lom alahem la'avor o Isser. Afrak Isser minog. Chas v'shalom, that they're doing one Isser, to tell them to do another Isser, even if it's just an Isser minog. And further, Moshe explains the tshuva. He says, and it's a greater chilul Hashem. The chilul Hashem that's caused by someone going to a place they shouldn't be going to, that's bad enough. You tell him to do another iser, the chilul Hashem is compounded. To hear of Moshe, even though he himself was the one who gave the heter under certain circumstances because it's only a minute chassidus, he himself takes the hard line and says, what are you talking about? It's an iser to take it off. It's a chilul Hashem if you take it off. So even Moshe himself was very, very, very careful how he used that original heter of minute chassidus. Yep. And you should tell them not to go to the disco. Of course, it's not cool to have a party either. Tell them not to go. One last point before we conclude. Yeah.
The whole concept of the suspect,
that's a good point. Generally today, like when I buy my son his yarmulke, so my first concern is style. You know, what's on it? Is it a train? Is it an olive page? Is it a choo-choo train? You know, very big shout-outs you have to deal with in the yarmulke store today. But you're right. Bottom line is the yarmulke is meant to be, you know, the kavod l'sefaros. It should encourage yirat shemayim, fear of heaven. And very often our perspective is somewhat skewed in that we're all, you know, very concerned about the style of the yarmulke. We lose sight of what it ultimately should be representing. So, you know, it's not also to wear a baseball hat, of course not, and it does serve the purpose of covering one's head. Will it, you know, be conducive to your shemayim? That's a personal decision. Now you have to ask yourself that very honestly. I don't know. I can't tell you, you know, what works for you, what works for me. I can tell you. It's not the Blue Jays. I certainly wouldn't go for it. But Trontonian.
I guess an older Mufusha wouldn't do it.
That's also true. Yeah.
Can an R-sign work to book it against you? Say you walk into a Dunkin' Donuts with a coffee that doesn't have a full aisle reduction.
Uh-huh.
You walk it in, it's going to, with the yarmulke, it's going to imply people around you that I can eat.
So I think Rav Moshe would say you can't take off your yarmulke. The shaila you're asking is, am I a sign shaila? With my yarmulke, is there a problem walking to Dunkin' Donuts to get a cup of coffee?
Right.
So that really depends on, you know, do people realize that you're just going with a cup of coffee? Is that a very commonplace, which you could say it is, and some posts can hold that it is. But, you know, it's a Marasayan child. It's not a Yarmulke child. Yarmulke has to stay on and deal with Marasayan child with that on. Yeah.
With regard to what the Tosha Moshe said, hope with a Yarmulke.
You should know that's an excellent question. In that. It's a good question. In the Sugya of Bichlukos Seim, there are certain practices that we used to do that we then abandoned because they took it up. For example, davening with our hands outstretched. You look in the original sources, you know, we look in Nishmas, we speak about outstretching your kapayim. Yodenu thrusos, our hands are outstretched. Or by Yisak, Yisak Yodav Ivarchem, Aaron lifts up his hands, he blesses them. Originally, tefillah was done with your hands open, outstretched. And Poskim say, Be'er Sheva, in his Tshuvas, writes that the reason we don't do it anymore is because the Goyim adopted it, so we gave it up. But I wouldn't recommend that with regard to Kisei Rosh, because that is not something that we have abandoned because they have adopted it, because they haven't all adopted it. It's still a unique Jewish identity, marker. Although that svar is very important. Svar is related to, dealt with in, with regard to, women in Kisei Rosh. We can discuss that afterwards. Yeah.
It's going back to the other part of the ones that we have to face up. The 400 Jews, that's one striking surprise to me. So I have one question. How come none of the women are wearing that one? What's the answer?
Good question. So, you know, strictly speaking, according to Halakha, married women have their heads covered, so that wouldn't be a shiloh. Unmarried women who don't have their heads covered. So it's a very serious shiloh mode of Avad Yosef and Sitz Eliezer have tshuvas about how can girls make brachas with their heads uncovered. Even if you assume that Kisei Hirosh is Midas Hasidus and they didn't adopt it, but brachos, which might be a shiloh of Isser Medina, how can they say Shem Shemayim with their heads uncovered? And Avad Yosef actually says he recommends that his Sephardi based Yaakov girls cover their heads when they say brachos, I believe, if I recall correctly. But the reason given why the minig is not, Sitz Eliezer writes using Yira Svara. He says, since Christian women, when they go to church, cover their heads with their bonnet, so for the women, it's the reverse. So Bisaka means that they cover their heads. So our Jewish women, when they say brachas, don't cover their heads. The unmarried women. So that Svara is used in the reverse by Sitz Eliezer for the women. That's a good child. Yeah. So the issue of saying Shem Hashem uncovered, it's a machlokus whether that's an issur or not. Even there, there's a machlokus of poskim, whether it's midas chasidus, whether it's an issur megamer medina. It's two days in the second sofrim, source number 21, whether that's usur medina or not. We don't have time to get into it. I think I'm keeping up my timer, so I got to, okay. Thank you. Okay, good. So there's two sheets of Masechta Sofrim about whether it's usur medin to say Shem Hashem with your head uncovered. And that's Machlokas Poskim. Shulchan Aruch quotes it as Shem Yesh Omen, source 22. Some say it's usur to say Shem Hashem with your head uncovered. The Grod Siman Ches disagrees. The Grod Siman Ches writes that even Shem Hashem with your head uncovered is only Midas Chasidus. So it's Machlokas Poskim whether saying Shem Hashem with your head uncovered is more Chomer, and that would be an Isser Gomer, or whether that would still only be a Midas Chasidus. But the reason for that, for saying Shem Hashem, why are we more mocking with Shem Hashem? So here, the Trumas HaDeshin, which I didn't get a chance to put on the handout, I don't think, the Trumas HaDeshin and Simon Yud write that the reason that there would be an Isser Gomer to say Shem Hashem with your head uncovered, says the Trumas HaDeshin, is because, which is the Lashon, it's Mishum Kalus Rosh Kapi Shmaya. It shows a certain levity, a certain relaxed attitude towards Shemayim, that you're saying Shem Hashem without Ema and Yir, without fear of heaven. And that would be the reason why it would be usur to say Shem Hashem with your heaven covered, even if you assume that in general there's no strict isur Dami Medina. You should know that there's an article published in the journal called Or Yisrael, Torah Journal Or Yisrael, and which is a tshuva from Shmuel Vosner, who was a big posik in Bnei Brak, where he writes that his custom is that any bracha he says, even Asher Yotzar, stama bracha, regular bracha, not only does he wear his yarmulke, he puts on his hat too. Why? Because taking this notion and extending it a step further, that the purpose of the yarmulke is for a year of Shemayim and to say Shem Hashem with a certain focus and concentration, so he puts on his hat and he says Asher Yotzar, because for him that's a sign of more covered Shemayim and more year of Shemayim when he says the bracha. So it just shows you how people take this, you know, this notion and take it very, very seriously.
Can we say that all is written in Yarmulke in the Kabbalah?
I'm sorry?
Can we say that all is written in Yarmulke in the Kabbalah? You have to be very Yarmulke to say it wrong.
So, special. So when you stop, and it was oversight. So, you're right. The Svar is to add on an extra Kisui, because they show added Kabbalah Shemayim, Yer Shemayim. You're right, that's the Svar of Shmuel Vosner. And by, we have some other points of the Svar also, by Tzilot, sorry?
You always wear it, so.
Okay, yes, so that's really, you should have an added Yer Shemayim for Shem Hashem. By Rosh Hashanah, you have that Svar for some poskim. By Tzilot, for some poskim. So, yeah, that is a Svar. That's also part of the same discussion. Okay, I have to wrap up. I want to just briefly sum up. There was one point I promised I would get to with you, which is the size of the yarmulke. So I'll briefly just mention it. It's source 19, source 20. But Moshe Feinstein paskins, the size of the yarmulke has to be that it's ba'ofen shenikra shirosha mechusa. It's covered in a way that it's called that your head is covered. I can't tell you what that means. We can ask your attendant when he comes in a moment what the definition of that is. Ba'ofen shenikra shirosha mechusa, that it's considered by others that your head is covered. Obviously, the extreme is, if you put something very small in your hair, it's something in your hair. It's not something covering your hair. The larger it gets, the less it's something in your hair, the more it's something covering your hair. So, you have to work with that in terms of Rav Moshe's psaka, what that means. Vadya Seth's psaka is that the yarmulke has to be visible from all sides of the head. That should be a distinguishing marker, can be visible from all sides of the head. Just to summarize, we saw very quickly that the purpose of the Big Day Kahuna was the Kabbalah Sefaris to show respect for Kadosh Baruch, number one, to earn the respect of others who would respect you as being distinguished in your stature, and number three, to remind you constantly what your mission is in your Avodas Hashem. The Yarmulke, as well, we saw is, as Rav Ravashi writes, it's a distinct Jewish marker, identity, that therefore if you remove it, it looks like you're not a from Jew anymore, and there will be a Chil Hashem if you take it off. You have to wear the Yarmulke because it's a Jewish identity symbol. Number two, we saw the yarmulke is meant to inspire you to your Shemayim, to constantly remind yourself of what your ultimate focus in this world is. And we finally concluded with the fact that although it might have been a midas chasidus originally, this man hazeh, it is definitely also not to wear yarmulke midin l'chil Hashem, or maris ayin, or in some according to Taz, or when you're daven, or when you're in shul because of chukas ha'akum. And the size of the yarmulke, that it should be covering your head enough that it should be your head's covered, or that it should be visible from all sides. I'll conclude here. I apologize for telling keeping him. Thank you all. And I'm going to take any questions afterwards if anybody is so inclined.
Thank you.